It's good fast food. It's good food fast.
Back here on the Friday edition of All About Sports here on ESPN 97.7 FM. The Ref, Oliver Gester on the Audubon Chrysler Hotline, home of 600 used cars on the Highway 41 strip in Henderson. Want to say hello to Tim Grimm. Tim, how are you?
Doing well this morning. Thank you so much.
All right, Tim. Tim and I have known each other for a long time. He does an outstanding job as far as the stats with the North football team. And then I found out earlier this week he knows a thing or two about horse racing. And we're going to be carrying the Triple Crown here tomorrow, at least the start of it, the first leg of it, the Run for the Roses from Churchill Downs in Louisville. And Tim, again, has been around the track for a while. And you've been following horses for how long?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm 60 this year, so that would mean my grandmother taught me to read a racing form when I was 7 or 8 years old. So let's just say 50 years out at Ellis Park I've been watching races.
All right. And obviously the Kentucky Derby, the first leg of the Triple Crown tomorrow, coming up from Churchill Downs in Louisville. And, Tim, you take a look at the field this year, and obviously 20 horses will get to the post tomorrow. Actually, 21, I guess, will get to the post.
Well, there's 20. There's 20. One that's a selective choice. If one of the horses scratches this morning, then the 21st horse will be allowed to take that spot.
Okay, so that is, I think, Blended Citizen is program number 21.
That's correct.
All right, so of the 20 horses that you looked at, I guess just basically an overview for this year's field. What do you think of it?
Well, this is the finest crop of horses to run in the Derby since 1957. That year you had three eventual Hall of Fame horses and Bold Ruler and Gallant Man and Round Table that took the track that day. But this certainly has the feel of horses that have the legitimate pedigree and success record to be even better than that field was.
Okay, so why are you saying that? Just as far as the field itself, going back to the race you talked about in the 50s, what makes this field so special?
In 57, again, you had three horses that ended up in the Hall of Fame. Interesting to note, Dan, none of those three won the race.
Wow, okay.
Which proves an old adage in horse racing that the best horse doesn't always win. That year, Iron Liege won when Bill Shoemaker, I'm sure you recognize that name,
sure,
Hall of Fame jockey, misjudged the finish line and stood up in the stirrups, a 16th short on Gallant Man, and let Iron Liege take the wire. You know, there are two adages I live by: that the best horse doesn't always win, and the other one is there's 1,000 ways to lose this race and only one way to win it. And they found a way that year to lose the race. But as far as this year goes, most years you come into a race and you'll have three or four horses that won a major stakes race in their last time out before they hit the gate at Churchill. This year you have no fewer than 8 horses that fit that bill, and I'm talking about winning major races. There are horses here who have run buyer speed numbers, which is, for those that don't know, the buyer speed number is an overall horse rating for quality of effort. I'd explain to you the formula, but it's kind of like trying to figure out the NFL quarterback pass rating or the college football ratings. You just take somebody's word. But the buyer speed rating on 4 of these horses in this race has already been well over 100 on each of them, and 100's kind of a bellwether mark in that. If you can do 100, you should be a Derby favorite. Well, we've got 4 in this race that have already run 100s, and one of them has won a 100-plus every time he's hit the track. So going to be an exciting race to watch in that respect.
Tim Grimm joining us here in the Friday edition of All About Sports. Tim, I don't really follow horse racing much. I mean, I do enjoy watching them run, and I guess it just – when I look at – getting ready for the Derby, there always just seems to be, and as you talk about, one or two horses out there that you expect to win, that just maybe have the possibility to dominate the race. And I haven't really And correct me if I'm wrong, and I probably am, but, you know, of the four horses that you mentioned earlier, is this a race that you feel is pretty wide open, that there's not a clear-cut favorite at the start of it?
Well, no. In fact, the curious thing about the 2018 race is that there are two horses that are going to go off at comparatively low rates of return. You'll have Justify, the number seven horse, justifiably going off at probably 5-2, 2-1. You'll have Mendelsohn, the horse that an owner paid the most for and has already gotten their money back out of. They paid $3 million for this horse at auction at England a few years ago. His name is Mendelsohn. And those two will both go off at 2-1, 5-2, 3-1, what have you. What's interesting about this race is you've got a half a dozen other horses, as I've mentioned, that have come off of major, major stakes wins, who will go off the board at 8-1, 10-1, 12-1, one of them even at 20-1. And that represents great value for a buyer, for a person betting a Kentucky Derby. You don't often see an opportunity to take horses like they're going to have this year with great pedigree, recent success, super speed numbers, and get a 10-1 return on your $2 wager.
Wow. I mean, and let me ask you this, just as far as the history of this event and where the post position is. I guess the number five horse audible, the number five post, I think is probably returned more our winners to the winner's circle there at Churchill Downs. So how important, you say, Justify starting at number seven, Mendelsohn is at number 14. So how important for those two probably early morning favorites is it from their post position?
Well, you've got to remember this race has been run for 144. So when you look at some of those post positions, it's only been a recent development that every year do you have an auxiliary gate, meaning more than 14 horses running in the race. So when you look at number five or post position number two or number one and what have you, that includes 144 years. But if we look at the recent, and by that I mean, say, from 2000 forward, where they've always had an auxiliary gate out there for horses 15 through 20, those post position analysis tend to lose some of their value from the 1930s, 1940s, what have you. So looking forward from 2000 up, it's actually a bit of a benefit to have been out in either the number 14 position or the number 15 position. Given that there are crowded fields, when you come out of those two slots, you have a little extra room because of the auxiliary gate. There's a little extra gap, and in a crowded field, not getting bumped at the start tends to be a little bit of an advantage. Of note, since 2000, you haven't had any horses winning from the 1, 2, or 3 slots, which used to be considered optimal. It's one of the reasons the morning line change or the morning line odds didn't change this week when they announced post positions, because really none of the eight favorites, what I consider the eight favorites, ended up down on the interior of the 1, 2, and 3 slots. So there was really no change in the front runner expected horses or the favorite expected horses as a result of it. When I do look at the post positions, I do think that audible is probably the furthest to the inside that you'd want to be, and the five hole is not a bad hole. But because of the way they drew out, where you have the 5, 6, and 7 horses, you've got horses that need to run toward the front. They don't need to be front runners, but in audible, Good Magic, and Justify, you've got three horses that need to be on the pace. And lo and behold, when they did a draft of the pole positions, those three came out side by side by side. So I suspect that as they head to that first turn, those three are going to be well aligned and away from the bumping that's going to go on behind them. But when I mentioned the 14 post and the 15 post, also of interest is Mendelsohn, who has never had to endure a lot of bumping and is a turf horse by trade, which is a little bit different type of race than a dirt track. The fact that Mendelsohn drew the 14 and really is the type of horse that needs to get a clean start and doesn't want to be stuck way outside on that first turn past the clubhouse, that was an excellent draw for Mendelsohn and certainly can't have hurt his position opportunities in this race.
We've talked about Audible, Justify, Mendelsohn, also Magnum Moon at the number 16 slot or post there tomorrow. Any of the horses in the field that right now 20-30 to 1 have a shot at being a trifecta bet for anybody?
Well, you know, interestingly, as we've talked about it here, I haven't even mentioned my pick for the race, which is number 11, Volt Doro, who's going to go off. I think Mike Watchmaker, who is the odds maker for Daily Racing Form, I think he's got him at 10-1. Arguably the best pedigree in the race, and was the two was the only horse to have already made over $1 million in his career. And was certainly the one of the favored horses as a two-year-old male, and has the varied running capability to adjust to most any condition, and has run 6 races in his life, won 4 of them, taken second in another, and taken third in another. So if you're looking for really good return for your investment, Bolt Doro comes to mind at number 11. But if you're going to put together a trifecta, I'd highly recommend that you have number 18, Vino Rosso, in it, who is the type of horse that if these guys get out and they run a fast pace, he is a strong finishing, strong horse. Now, he likes a race where they start with a slower start and then he can take a little bit wider trip through the final turn and come forward and make a charge at the end. The other horses that I like that are going to be really strong closers, one of them is Hofberg, and he's currently at 20-1. And if I were going to put together a trifecta bet, I'd have number 9 Hofberg in there. One of the reasons for that is his trainer is a Hall of Famer, Bill Mott. And Bill Mott is known for pointing his horses to races 4-year-olds. And so as a result, he always trains his horses to start their competition at grade one stakes races with the Belmont. And Mott is on record saying he hates the Derby because it's such a crowded field and there's a likelihood a horse could get hurt or could get bumped and not be given good performance. And he points his stable towards the Belmont as their first big race of note. The fact that he's got Hofberg in here is an indicator that Bill Mott thinks he's got a triple crown capable horse. And when Hofberg ran in the Florida Derby, he darn near ran down Audible at the finish line. So he's out of Tappet, which is a late finishing horse. And right now, Hofberg's at over 20-1 on Watchmaker's odds. So if you're putting together a trifecta, that's him or Vino Rosso. You want to have those two at the bottom of that ticket.
Tim Grimm joining us here, Friday edition of All About Sports. How important are the jockeys, and are there jockeys on mounting some of these horses that you probably ought to consider as well?
Well, it's one of the reasons I'm picking Bolt Doro. Bolt Doro had never lost a race, and last year at the Breeders' Cup was ridden by the Breeders' Cup for 2-year-old juveniles. Really the premier race for Kentucky Derby hopefuls. Bolt Doro went into that race and was the favorite in that race. Good Magic ended up winning that race, who we haven't really spoken about either, and he's an excellent a horse with tremendous pedigree. In fact, he was the 2-year-old male horse of the year, and you're going to be able to get a bet down on him in this race at 10-1 at the moment, and it may go higher. He got a perfect ride in the Breeders' Cup. Bolt Doro got a horrible ride. Never came within 6 lanes, even down the backstretch, which meant he ran at least a half a furlong further than any other horse in the race and still managed to finish third. Well, they changed jockeys. They put another jockey on him in the next two races. He ran slightly better, but still had some questionable things where he was put in a position when he was running up against Justify. He was running neck and neck with Justify, and the jockey put him in a position where he had to hold up at the top of the stretch, lost his momentum, but came back to nearly catch Justify down the finish. Well, this year in the Derby, he's getting a change of riders again, and sometimes you go, why is that? Well, when I looked at Bolt Doro and I saw that they were putting a rider on him who had won three of the last six derbies, including he was aboard California, Chrome, and the last Triple Crown winner, and I said, well, if they're going to put Victor Espinosa on him, that's a horse that I'd like to make enough on my ticket. I mean, everybody knows Justify is the favorite. You bet Justify, you get enough money back for, you end up having to wait in a super long line because he's a favorite to cash your ticket. You get enough back to maybe buy a number one at McDonald's in the drive-thru. You bet a horse like Bold Doro or Good Magic, and you get on them, and they get that good return. Might be at House of Como instead, getting a nice steak dinner and a bottle of wine to go with it when the day is done. So Espinosa changing horses, riding Bolt Doro. That's one of the reasons I'm on him as a favorite.
All right, you'll be able to hear the Kentucky Derby tomorrow after the Cardinals and the Cubs game right here on ESPN 97.7 FM. The Ref, the first leg of Horse Racing's Triple Crown. Tim Grimm, kind enough to spend some time with us. Thank you so much for all of your insight. I enjoyed it.
Hey, call me back for the Preakness. I'll have it for you.
All right, that's Tim Grimm. We'll be right back to Friday edition of All About Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM, The Ref.